Good morning and happy Palm Sunday this morning from Pinckney Missionary Baptist Church. I would like to start this morning with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can all worship you. Some at their homes, some are traveling on the road, and a few that are here at your church. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that we receive across this past week. And we thank you for the blessings of love, mercy, and grace from you, our Heavenly Father. We cannot imagine the Palm Sunday that your Son, Jesus Christ, went through when he rode the donkey into Jerusalem, and everybody was hollering, "Welcome to the King of Jews," and "Hail the King." But then just 5-6 days later, they were some of the same ones that helped crucify him. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, that you answer prayers. We ask you to hear ours today. For all of our people that are shut in, will you lead, guide, and protect them? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The sermon this morning, the title of it is The Revealing of Jesus' Kingship. The scripture selection comes to us from Luke chapter 19, the very familiar scripture of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem by Jesus. It's recorded in all four Gospels. The 21st chapter of Matthew, the 11th chapter of Mark, and the 12th chapter of John. And here we're in the 19th chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 28. May we hear the word of the Lord. When he had said this, he, Jesus, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage in Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat on. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosening it?' thus you will say unto him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosening the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. They were saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said unto them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would simply cry out.' This ends the reading of God's holy word. May it bless us always. Before we get started in the sermon today, I would like to acknowledge two things. One, the flowers on the front door. The door wreath was given by Glenn and Bonnie Holly, and we thank them. It's a beautiful arrangement. The flowers in the sanctuary, as you can see these, they're given by Janie Arp. And what two beautiful arrangements that they are, and we praise God for them, and we thank Janie and Glenn and Bonnie for these flowers. Today is Palm Sunday, the day on which we celebrate Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem at the beginning of the Passion Week. Regrettably, those who held Jesus as the King of Kings on this Palm Sunday were among the same ones who shouted for his crucifixion at the end of the week. In the triumphal entry, Jesus revealed the kind of kingship that his Father accepted. Jesus had been born again a king in the lineage of David. Wise men from the east came searching and asked him on that very Christmas morn, "Where is he that was born King of the Jews?" in Matthew 2:2. 3 points I would like to make about this scripture and this day. First, Christ rejected kingship on any terms but God the Father. Christ rejected kingship on the devil's terms. Christ came that the kingdoms of the world might become the kingdom of God. He taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come." For the kingdom he came, and for the kingdom he died on the cross. The devil tempted Jesus by offering him all the kingdoms of the known world, provided he bow on his knee before the satanic throne. This subtle temptation promised victory. But I can't imagine Jesus even letting that whole message get into his brain, because he had a pathway to the cross. He did not want anything from the devil. The devil was telling Christ, "You don't have to suffer. You don't have to die for this world to accomplish your purpose. If you jump off now, angels will save you." Christ repudiated the kingship on the devil's terms. And so must we. We also must push the devil in the background. As Brother Earl and I were talking earlier this morning, the happiest person in the entire world right now, with all of what's going on with this coronavirus, is Satan himself. It's keeping so many people from being in the church and worshiping together as God's people. We are worshiping together in a way. Melissa and Wayne have so diligently set this up so we can worship together, and my thanks and praise to them as well. But we need to repudiate the devil just as Jesus did. Christ rejected kingship on his disciples' terms as well. In John 6:15, our Lord performed many miracles. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He delivered many demons. He brought the dead back to life. What was the disciples thinking when they wanted to put Jesus up on a throne that he wasn't come here to be that type of king? They thought, there was a couple of them, thought that he could be the type of military king and destroy the dreaded Roman army. When we try to recreate the situation concerning the feeding of the 5,000, we might imagine that the disciples made the suggestion to those receiving the bread that it would be wise to force Jesus to become their king. He would be a mighty materialistic leader, a military leader who could perform all types of miracles, and he could grant a success for the army against the Roman military forces. Our Lord rejected that plot of him as a nationalistic or a military leader. Jesus refused to let the crowd make him king. Matthew's gospel reveals that Christ compelled his disciples to get into the boat and sail away. And he did this even before he dismissed the multitude. His followers wanted to make him king on their terms. He felt the need for divine encouragement. He felt the need for divine strengthening. And therefore, he went apart to pray to God his Father to help him in this time of need. Secondly, Christ came as the King of love. By the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, our Lord was deliberately asserting his spiritual kingship and messiahship over the people. He was fulfilling the prophecy recorded in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And Christ rode into Jerusalem not on a chariot, not on a war animal, but on a donkey. And back in those days, donkeys was noted as a noble beast. This happening was a part of the coronation ceremony of Israel's kings. Our Lord was deliberately asserting his kingship in his position of unique significance. And at the same time, it happened to be a great danger for Christ. The plot to kill him was already underway, requiring both divine compassion and a fearless courage. He showed himself in Jerusalem at this time, and he showed no fear, knowing he was about to die. In just 5 days. And yet, he rode proudly. Christ's asserted kingship was one of love and of peace that grows out of this love. This action by Christ was a final appeal for understanding and acceptance by the Jewish people. Thirdly, Christ was rejected as a king. His enemies accused him of being a king in revolt against Caesar. Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" John 18, verse 33. Pilate had the nerve to ask him, "Was he the king of the Jews?" The enemies of our Lord wanted him out of the way. They falsely accused him. They maligned him in every possible way. And finally, he was condemned to the cross. In cutting sarcasm, Pilate had his accusers place a placard on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The Jewish people resented this wording and requested that Pilate change the superscription, but he refused to do it, according to John 19, verses 19 through 22. Christ Jesus was born to be a king. He demonstrated his kingship, but was rejected as a king of love and of peace by his own people. God announced Christ's kingship over all of creation by raising him from the dead and by exalting him to the position of extreme supremacy. God intends for every knee to bow before him, every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and he is the glory of our Father. So the 3 points that I made this morning, Christ rejected kingship on any terms but God's. Christ came as the King of love. And Christ was rejected as a king. In closing, make Jesus Christ your King of kings, your Lord of Lords in your heart. Not just for the day, not just for this special Passion Week, but forever. Give him the key to your heart. Let him lead, guide, and direct you. Give him control of your attitude. Give him control of your soul. Let him define your ambitions. When you make Christ king, he becomes the Prince of Peace. Let earth receive her king. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this Palm Sunday. We thank you, Lord, that you came, that we all may have life and have life eternal. We thank you that you are the King that came, but not a military king. You didn't come to be the king of a nation. You came to be the king of our hearts. You came to be our leader, our blessed Redeemer. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. In Christ's name we pray, amen.